Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. So today is the very first episode of the podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to start this. It's been something I've been meaning to do for a long time because I'm a big podcast guy. So the first episode today is going to be covering everything to do with fat loss. So whether your goal is to lose body fat, just to get, you know, six pack abs or get into a lower size dress, or if you've got a lot of body fat and you're overweight or obese and want to drop down, this is going to be the podcast where we cover that. So everything that you need to do to get your body fat levels lower, regardless of where you're at in terms of your own fitness journey. So the layout of the show today, we're going to cover everything from how to get your nutrition on point to get your fat loss down, what to do for training to get body fat down, and then what supplements you can use that can support that. And then at the end of the show, we're going to talk with the Q&As. I opened up my Snapchat, BrianK019, where people were able to send me in questions. So I'm going to go through some questions and answer them directly, everything that's related around fat loss. So number one, the most important thing you need to know about fat loss is to get your nutrition on point. You can have everything right in your training, you can have everything right with your supplements, but if you haven't got your nutrition on point, you're going to massively slow down your fat loss goals in terms of getting to where you want to be. So getting your nutrition on point is number one. There's a couple of things you need to look into on this side. Calories in and calories out is probably the most important thing. So if you're eating too many calories, you are going to not lose your body fat. You're not going to reduce down body fat. You're not going to lose any weight that you want to get off your body. The biggest mistake I see with people is that they're eating just too many calories. Like, it's very, very easy to overeat on calories if you're not tracking them, or you're not following a nutrition plan, or you're not doing the things that gives you an idea of what kind of ballpark your calories are in. Now I've done, people on my YouTube, Brian Keane Fitness, I've done a video on my fitness pal and how I'm not a big fan of these tracking apps and things like that, because I don't like the relationship they build with food with people. But in the beginning, for the first week, 10 days, they work really well because they give you a gauge of how many calories you're eating, what your macros are like at each meal. So they work really well. I always say use MyFitnessPal and other calorie apps like an instruction manual. You know, use it for the first 6-7 days and then fuck it in the bin. You know, chuck it in the bin because it's no good to you after that point, because you're going to start obsessing about the food you're eating, and all the cortisol and stress that gives your body can actually give you worse and make you worse and have you lose less body fat, because your body's not working in an optimal state because of the elevated cortisol, the elevated stress. So what I would do is make sure that you are tracking in the beginning and then not getting obsessed with it. You know, my protocol for losing body fat with 90% of my clients, again, it's case by case base, people in my online groups, is getting meal timings on point, getting calories on point. For example, in my online programs, the calories are calculated, but they're calculated for me so that I know that people aren't eating too many calories. You know, I tell people not to obsess with them, because it's more important that you get good, clean foods in, avoiding processed foods, shitty foods that are going to just be worse for your body. Like, when you eat processed foods, you want to lose body fat and that's your primary goal, every time you eat processed foods, you're giving your body another job. It has to figure out what to do with the processed food, and it spends energy trying to break down where to even put it. So two things happen when you eat processed food. One, it gives you less energy, and two, it stops your body from burning body fat because you're giving it another job to do. You have less energy because your body is using energy within itself to try and break down and figure out what this processed food is. So one, you eat the food and you get less energy from it, which means you can't do as much training, which means you feel worse, which means you're more likely to reach out for shitty foods. So the second thing with processed foods then is you're giving your body another job to do. When your body's so focused on breaking down processed food and what it needs, what it is, you're not going to be in an optimal level of fat burning. You know, the less jobs you give your body to do, the better it's going to be at burning fat. I always say it's like if I gave you 20 minutes to clean the entire kitchen and put out all your clothes to dry, you're going to rush both jobs. So the kitchen's probably going to be semi-clean and half the clothes are going to be hung up. Whereas if you just did one job for 20 minutes, you'd have it done perfectly. That's kind of how your body is for fat burning. Every time you eat processed foods, you give it another job to do. So it makes it less productive at breaking down fat. It makes it less productive at actually getting rid of fat stores, you know, breaking down the fat stores that are in your body. So give it as little jobs as possible. Put your body into an optimal state of fat burning by cutting all the processed shit, and that's going to give you a massive advantage in getting your body fat down. So that's your calories, that's your processed foods, and your macro timings then are probably your next thing. There are optimal cases of where to have your carbohydrates, where to have your protein. Personally, my favorite system is eating every 2.5-3 hours to elevate metabolism and keep it high. You know, what happens when you eat every 2.5-3 hours is your body gets used to eating every 2.5-3 hours and uses those current calories for current energy. So two things happen. One, you get more energy. So it obviously means you can train harder and you can do more things and you'll feel better. But two, you're not going to store those calories as stubborn fat because your body is using them as a fuel source. The opposite happens then when you go long periods without eating. We're designed evolutionary over time to store body fat for survival reasons. You know, so if you go 5, 6, 7 hours without eating, your body will take in food in its next meal and it'll shuttle it all towards fat cells because it'll send a message from your brain to your body saying, look, we don't know when we're going to get food again. You know, shuttle it into the fat stores where it's safe and we can use it for energy in case we need it. This is an evolutionary thing that kept us alive, you know, thousands of years ago, but now it just makes us fat and overweight. You can flip that by eating every 2.5-3 hours because it keeps your metabolism high, particularly if you're doing this with high protein foods. If you've got a small amount of protein in every single meal, your body burns more calories breaking down a gram of protein than it does breaking down a gram of carbohydrate, and they're the exact same calories per gram. And there's less calories than per gram of fat. Like you've got 4 kilocalories per gram of protein, 4 kilocalories per gram of carbohydrate, and you've got 9 kilocalories, over double per gram of fat. So keeping protein in there, your body breaks down more calories breaking that down, which means that you can, it's going to obviously keep you satiated, so it means you're not going to be as full. It's going to give you all the amino acids that your body needs, the essential aminos if you're eating good clean foods like, you know, chicken, turkey, fish, and you're going to have the elevated metabolism, so you're going to burn more calories, burn more fat, have more energy, and feel better. So that's how I would approach your nutrition, is have your meals every 2.5-3 hours, and then timing your macros is very much dependent on your training program. For example, it's always optimal to have, you know, no, if your fat loss is your primary goal, keeping your carbohydrates semi-low in the lead up to your workout, and then having your carbohydrates after your workout when you're more insulin sensitive. Insulin sensitive meaning that your body will utilize its carbohydrates as its fuel source. It'll suck them up and use them instead of them going back to the liver, being converted into triglycerides and getting converted into body fat. Your body will use your carbohydrates. That being said, that's very training program dependent. If you're doing a high tension program or a high volume program, or you're doing high intensity as your main cardio source, you may want to have carbohydrates in those pre-workout meals as well, because it won't matter to your body because you're going to be burning them up through the sheer amount of volume that you're doing. So it's really context dependent on your training program. For example, in my online program, there's a massive focus on tension style training, working for tension, working for tearing fibers, because tearing fibers will elevate metabolism, which means that you're going to burn more calories while you're at home resting, as opposed to just burning calories in the gym. When you do cardio, you'll burn more calories in the gym, but you won't burn any while you're resting at home. When you're doing weight training and resistance training and tension style training, your body is going to elevate its metabolism. Because you tear so many fibers, your body now has to repair those fibers. So the foods that you eat goes towards repair and doesn't go towards fat stores. So that's how my clients, the people I've worked with and myself, is how we've been able to stay so lean long term, is because you're constantly elevating metabolism and giving your body a new job for its calories, so that your calories go towards repair and they don't go towards your fat stores. So that's kind of the main principle based around that system. So that's everything that you need to know about nutrition. Again, that's one part of it, and it's a massive chunk. If you haven't got your nutrition part right, it's very, very unlikely that you're going to get anything else from your program in terms of getting optimal fat loss until you get your nutrition on point. Okay, so number two is your training program. There is no one size fits all for training programs, but you can be doing the wrong training program if fat loss is your goal. If you're going into the gym and doing resting for too long, or focusing on isolation movements, or focusing too much on machines and all of these things, your body's not going to be in an optimal state for fat burning. If you are trying to get into fat burning, there's a couple of things that will work amazingly well for you. One is the correct resistance style program. So working for tension, like I talked about, is always going to be your optimal training style for losing body fat. Because you're tearing so many fibers, your body is going to, its metabolism is going to elevate in order just to repair those fibers. So you give your food a new job. So when you eat your food, it goes towards repair of the muscle and isn't getting towards fat stores. So now you're burning it off on one end and you're not adding in on the other. That leads to very, very increased fat loss and can lead you to do it a lot faster than doing it, you know, without working for tension style training. You know, working in the correct rep range as well is very important. Obviously, the 8 to 10 kind of rep range is your optimal level for fiber tearing, which is going to elevate your metabolism the most. If you're working for, you know, 4 or 5 reps, you're still in your kind of strength parameters. You're not going to tear enough fibers, elicit enough fiber tears to elevate metabolism, which is what you really want. And if you're going too high, where you're working all 20 reps, 25 reps, which is good as well, but isn't optimal for tearing fibers, if that's your entire program, you're going to miss a trick either side. So you want to be able to work in that 8 to 10 rep range, you know, 45 to 60 second rest. And then ideally, for example, in my online program, it's all tension style stuff with some supersets in the first phase. The second phase is all superset training. So you're doing back-to-back moves, one move after the other, then you rest, and then a finisher style. So kind of circuits towards the end so that your body's in an optimal level of fat loss. I'll explain that in a little bit. So that's just to kind of give you an example of how you can actually get your body to do the best training style to get your body fat down and get your body fat low. And working for tension, working in the right rep range, working in the right rest range, working within the right parameters, really. The next most important thing then is your timing of your cardio. This is the number one thing that I see people doing incorrectly, and incorrectly in terms of, if your goal is fat loss, the order of your cardio and weight training is very, very important. Because you're obviously tearing fibers when you're doing your resistance training, you're burning more calories while you're at rest at home. If you do your cardio at the end of your workout, you have a more chance of tapping into fat stores and a faster chance of reducing your body fat. Your body has, in terms of its energy system, it's called its glucose glycogen body fat chain. So your glucose is like the carbohydrates you've eaten that day. So like in the pre-workout meal or 2 meals before that. Your glycogen stores then are like your carbohydrates you've eaten over the last 48 hours or so. And then you've got your body fat. You know, you want to try and get into your body fat stores as fast as possible. So by doing your weight training and resistance training first, you're going to burn through any glucose in your system. You're going to burn through your glycogen faster. And then when you go and do your cardio after 40 minutes or 50 minutes and do 10, 15 minutes of cardio, you're already into your fat stores. So your body's literally tapping into fat stores while you're doing your cardio. If you flip that and do your cardio first, because you don't burn through glycogen as quick during cardio, you may never get into those fat stores if you're doing cardio first and resistance or weight training after. So that one flip can be a massive thing in terms of, if you made no change to anything else in your training, just flipping those orders or switching the order, your body will go into an optimal state of fat burning purely because of the way you're using that glucose glycogen body fat chain. You know, so utilize that in your training, utilize high intensity training and low intensity cardio. You know, they're both systems work really, really well for fat loss. Again, there's a couple of questions and I'll answer it towards the end. I always err towards high intensity training. I think it's a better bang for your buck. I think it allows you to eat more calories. High intensity interval training is like sprint training, where you're doing like 30 second sprint and 30 second recovery, and you might do 10 rounds so that you're done in cardio in 10 minutes. Then low intensity steady state is where you do like 20 minute walk or jog on a treadmill, or 25 minutes, you know, on a cross trainer. And I prefer the HIIT because I'm an 80-20 guy. I prefer to do fucking 80%. Or prefer to do 20% of something and get 80% of the results. So maximize your time in the gym. So I prefer high intensity training, but low intensity steady state cardio has its place. It just means you got to be a lot tighter with your food. I would much prefer to have higher calories. Like very, very rarely will I ever drop any of my females below 1600 calories. And I don't think I've ever dropped a guy below 21 or 2200 calories, because calories and food and timing right will keep your metabolism high. It'll keep your hormones in balance. It'll keep everything working as it should be. You know, once you drop too low, you start to get an effect on hormones, things like your leptin, your ghrelin levels, your hunger hormones, your insulin. All of these things can downregulate if you drop your calories too low. And then you've got a whole problem of fucking fixing them and getting them back up before you even worry about, you know, your body composition and getting your body fat down. So I like to keep calories higher and get the deficit from training. That's why I prefer to use high intensity training. But that's not to say low intensity steady state doesn't work. I just prefer high intensity because the better bang for your buck. And that's relative. You know, if you're in terms of high intensity training, you're doing 30 second sprint, you're going 10 out of 10 for you, but that's relative. You know, your 10 out of 10 is going to be different to my 10 out of 10. You know, you're going to 9 or 10 out of 10 of your max effort. Just because you see somebody that's doing triathlons or a pro fitness model or whatever it is, bashing it out like crazy on a rower or on a cross trainer, they're going 9 or 10 out of their 10. Somebody that's stepped foot in the gym for the first time, they're going a lot slower, but they're going 9 or 10 out of their 10. You know, they're going to the max effort of themselves. So it's a relative term. That's why I love the system, because you can apply it regardless of your level. Some people think that, oh, well, I'm not in shape, I can't do high intensity training. You can. It's just working. It's relative within your terms. You're going to your max effort on the sprints, you know, and you're getting a better bang for your buck with it. So that's my tips on how to train. And then the last bit is your supplements. Your supplements are going to be the very last wheel in the cog, or the cog in the wheel. As long as your nutrition's in place and as long as your training's in place, supplements are going to push you to the next level. Without them, they're not worth anything. They're like putting good supplements, fat burning supplements into your body is like putting amazing motor oil into your car and then forgetting to put petrol in it. You know, the car won't fucking move. You know, that's what supplements do. But if you've got a full tank of petrol, car's working in great order, and you put in top motor oil, it's going to run better. That's what supplements will do. They will speed up your progress. They will help you get to your goals faster, but you need everything else in place first. You need to have your nutrition in place, and you need to have the right training program in place. In terms of fat-burning supplements then, there's a couple that I recommend that I love. I'm just going to recommend the ones from my online program because they're my go-tos and my favorites. There's loads out there, but my favorite ones are the ones that don't affect your central nervous system in a massive way. I don't like the ones that make you all jittery and feeling all stimmed out of it because they've attacked your sympathetic nervous system and it's going into overdrive. I prefer things that don't have an effect on the sympathetic nervous system, or else a very mild effect, so that your body isn't affected by, you know, adrenal fatigue and your sleep doesn't get affected and you don't feel all like wired and tripped out of it. So my number one is green tea extract. I love this as a fat burning supplement because in green tea extract, particularly the supplement form, the tea is amazing and you get the antioxidants, but in the supplement form, you have a compound called ECGC. It's basically the compound in green tea extract that elevates metabolism. You know, it will, if you think of your metabolism like a fire, green tea extract is like, puts flames on the fire. ECGC will make the fire burn brighter. You know, you want your metabolism always burning brightly because that's what's allowing you to burn more fat. So supplementing with green tea extract, I normally take it before I train. You can take it first thing in the morning, but I always love taking it before I train. It's body weight dependent, but normally if you're 75 kilos above, or what's that, 150 pounds, about 1,000 milligrams of green tea extract before you train. If you're 150 pounds or 75 kilos and below, about 500 milligrams is going to work great for you. And then take it 20 or 30 minutes before you train. That's going to elevate your metabolism for the entire day. I just like it because a little bit of caffeine in it and gives you a little bit of a mental focus before you train. The next one then is L-carnitine tartrate. I love L-carnitine tartrate because it doesn't have any effect on the sympathetic nervous system. There's no stimulant in it. So, but what it does is it pushes the mitochondrial fat cells into the mitochondria to be burned for fuel. So it allows your body to actually take stubborn fat that you have in your cells, and it will allow it to be released so that you can burn through it as fuel. So if you think of your green tea extract burning the fire, what L-carnitine tartrate is doing is it's shuttling the fat into the fire so you can burn it as a fuel source. So these two together are a really, really potent combo because one is elevating metabolism, the other is pushing the fat into the cells to be burnt, and then together they're burning more body fat. Again, this is body weight dependent. If 75 kilos or 150 pounds and above, I would generally go with, you know, 1500 milligrams of L-carnitine tartrate with your green tea extract 20 minutes before you train. If you're 150 pounds or 75 kilos and below 1500 milligrams, if you're 150 pounds or 75 kilos and above, I go around 2,500 milligrams, so 2,500 milligrams at the same time, 20 minutes before you train. Then the last one is probably the most potent fat burner on the planet. It's caffeine. You know, caffeine that you get in a cup of coffee, or you're getting caffeine pills. If you go into any supplement store and look at the fat burners, normally the number one ingredient, unless it's another company that's probably going to get their supplement banned soon, is caffeine, because it's the most trial and tested fat burner on the planet. Caffeine will allow your body to get into lipolysis, which is where you will release the fat from the cells where you can burn through it as a fuel source. That's why it works too. It works amazing also because it gives you a mental focus, so it can allow you to train harder and train longer and train at a more intense level. So you'll burn more calories, you'll tear more fibers. So it'll work on the back end, but it also works on the front end because it releases fat from the cells, similar to L-carnitine tartrate. And then when you train, you're burning through fat cells, you know? So you're getting it on both sides. You're getting a better workout and tearing more fibers, which is elevating metabolism, which is allowing you to burn overall more calories, but you're burning more on the front end because your body's releasing the fat from the cells and literally allowing you to use fat as a fuel source while you train. I would have a play around with this. It's very individual to each person, but normally between 200 and 400 milligrams, 20, 30 minutes before you train is the optimal level. And it doesn't matter whether you get this from coffee or caffeine capsules. The only thing I would say with coffee is make sure you have the coffee black. As soon as you start adding sweeteners or sugar or milk, you take away that effect and the massive effect of lipolysis it has in the body. So I would stay away from that. But in terms of supplements, they're your three babies. They're your go-to. You know, if you only apply the things I've told you in this podcast, from the nutrition to the training to the supplements, you have massive tools there in terms of getting your body fat down. And all the things there are going to help retain any lean muscle that you have. But you're going to put yourself on track to get into great shape. So that's everything in terms of that. I'm going to go through the Q&As now. So as I said, on Snapchat, BrianK019, I got people to send me questions, and I'm just going to answer them now. So again, they're going to be very specific to each person. So, BrianK Fitness Podcast, how much body fat can you lose per week? How and thanks. It varies person to person. If you are very, very overweight or very, very obese to start with, you're obviously going to lose more than somebody who's already at, you know, 10, 15% body fat and that already has like an outline of abs or already has a flat tummy for a girl. But if you're very, very overweight, you can lose more. I generally aim for about 2 pounds a week with somebody that's on the high end of, like, if you're holding quite a lot of body fat. And then that'll reduce, obviously, as you start to reduce it, lower it down. But I've found 2 pounds a week is normally ideal. If clients start to drop off too soon and drop off 4 or 5 pounds a week, I try and scale them back, because what happens is you have what's called a metabolic set point. It's where your body is happy to be at a certain weight. If you drop it too quickly, you're at the risk of rebounding it back. So I'd rather do it slow and steady, and that way you can keep it off long term, and your body and metabolism has reset with you so that you are able to get down 3, 4, 5 stone or, you know, 100 pounds or whatever it is, and you can stay down, you know, because your metabolism has reset with you. When you start to do it too quickly, this is my issue with liquid diets and certain companies that have liquid diets, is because they put you into a massive calorie deficit, like 600 calories with 3 shakes a day or whatever it is, you'll drop off a load of weight quickly, but you won't keep any of it off because your metabolism gets so fucked up from your hormones and stuff not being set properly and reset that you rebound back worse than you were in the beginning. So you may lose 3 stone, and then when you go back eating normal food, you know, you put your 4 stone back on, or you lose 50 pounds and you put up 75 pounds back on because you've now upset your metabolism that regulated hunger, regulated fat burning, and you put yourself in a massive disadvantage. So that's normally what I aim for. Then somebody that's already leaner, you know, it varies, but normally a pound a week is normally a good gauge. Or tracking, if it's someone that's already a very low level, using body fat calipers is normally a good gauge. If you're already low, I only use that with people that are like already at the optimal level of leanness, because your best indicator is your progress photos and your clothes, I mean, how they're fitting. So that's what I would use. Okay, podcast, BrianK Fitness. I'm in a real plateau, training 5 days a week, mixture of weights and cardio at 1,200 calories a day, but no change in weight or measurement. Any advice? Well, calories are too low to start. I don't know your body weight or your body fat, but I would imagine a girl at 1,200 calories, they're too low. You're probably, what's happened is your metabolism has probably stalled. That's what I was talking about. When you drop your calories too low, your metabolism stalls. It plateaus. That's why, when you stick to the same program or stick to the same plan all the time and nothing changes, your body goes into a complete plateau. The thing is, with 1,200 calories now, you don't have anywhere to go with it. That's the problem, you know. So you need to, what I would do there is, I would make sure you get on a good training program. Start bumping up your tension style training. Start working in for some circuits, some finisher style workouts for your high intensity workouts, and bump up your calories to about 1,500-1,600. You know, bump them up in protein if you're afraid of getting fat, because you're not going to get fat by bumping up the protein source, in terms of, because of what it'll do for your metabolism. But I get your calories up. They're too low. in terms of at 1200, you can't sustain that long term because your body's just not going to keep the body fat off. So I would increase your training intensity and increase your calories, and that should shuttle your body fat into using its stores again and move you past a plateau. If you plateau in any, regardless of your goals, whether it's fat loss or muscle building or whatever it is, if you plateau, it's because you haven't changed something. You know, always, this is why in my, say, my online programs, this is why I always change up. I add in finishers to the end of certain workouts, change up a couple of things with dietary as you go along, because it keeps the metabolism elevated. It keeps things moving. As soon as you do the same thing all the time, your body will stall, your metabolism will stall, and you'll stop getting the results. Okay, next question. Branky Fitness Podcast. What's the best way to calculate calories and the activity level? It's kind of a little bit of a trial and error for each person. I use the BMR to calculate calories as a baseline metabolic rate. As your BMR is your basal metabolic rate. It's the amount of calories you need to stay the same weight, you know, just for brain function and vital organ function. So for example, if my basic metabolic rate is, you know, 1800 calories, I need to eat 1800 calories just to function, you know, before I've added in any training or anything like that. And I normally use that as my baseline and then add calories depending on your schedule. For example, I know for me, my basic metabolic rate, I think, is around the 2100 mark, if I remember it correctly. So to stay the exact same weight, I'd keep it there. If I'm trying to lose a lot of body fat, I'll keep it around the 2100, 2300 calorie mark, and then I get my deficit from training. Or if I was trying to put on muscle, I would bump it up to 27, 28, 29, 500 or 600 calories above my basic metabolic rate. You know, there's a couple of ways to get body fat down. If your basic metabolic rate is on average, say 2000 calories, if you eat 1700 calories, you're in a calorie deficit, you're going to burn body fat. Or you could eat 2000 calories and get your calorie deficit from training. You know, that's the way I always prefer to do it with most of my clients and the people I work with online, because it keeps metabolism elevated, it keeps hormones stable, and you're still getting the same bang for your buck, but you get to eat more food, you feel better, your hormones are better, your energy levels are better, and you can do it long term. So that's my advice to you. Fat loss. 26-year-old female struggling to lose fat in the inner thighs, hamstrings, and lower back. Upper body is quite lean. Any tips? Yeah, it sounds a little bit like you may have a slight estrogen imbalance. Females have higher level of estrogen naturally, just because of, you know, your menstrual cycles and your hormones and everything like that. So your estrogen levels are higher. What I would generally do is, assuming everything's on track with your nutrition, that you're not eating processed foods, because that can upset estrogen, that can upset hormones. Avoid all processed food. Stick with clean, good foods. Go with organic foods if possible. They're nearly the same price. And go with organic foods if possible, because there's no pesticides. Like, think about it as well. If you're eating pesticides that have been sprayed on your broccoli or your spinach, when you eat that broccoli, that pesticide is going into your body. That's now giving your body another job to do. It works the same as the processed food. Your body's like, what the fuck is this? And it's got to figure out what to do and figure out what those pesticides are. And then it'll get back to burning body fat. So that's why I kind of stick with organic foods when I can. Purely for that reason, it gives your body one less thing to do in terms of body fat, and it puts you at an optimal level of body fat. So I would make sure you're not having any processed foods. Stick with good, clean foods, loads of vegetables, fruits, complex carbs, lean fish, lean meats, and then maybe consider supplementing with something like DIM, D-I-M, is an estrogen balance supplement. If you're struggling to lose body fat on those areas, inner thighs, hamstrings, lower back, it could be because your estrogen is just completely out of balance, and DIM tends to put it back into a homeostatic state. It tends to bring your estrogen levels back in balance, but combine it with avoiding processed foods. Next question, podcast, Branky Fitness Podcast. How many times should a girl go to the gym per week if wanting to lose over a stone? You could lose over a stone without ever going to a gym, you know. You could lose it from diet alone. Once you're in that calorie deficit that I talked about, if your calorie, you know, basic metabolic rate is 2000 calories and you're eating 1700 calories, you're going to lose body fat that way. You know, compound effect over time, doing that for 6, 12, 18 weeks, you're probably going to lose a stone easily by never stepping foot in a gym. That or get into a calorie deficit. If you kept your diet the exact same and walked 20 minutes every day, you would gradually go into a calorie deficit that way as well. You don't need to step foot in a gym. For example, in my online program, there's a home workout. Some people have never set foot in a gym. I've got some stay-at-home moms that can't get to a gym, and some people that just don't have the time. So they've got home workouts. So they have never even stepped foot in a gym. Or some don't even need to train because they're doing other things. Like, I'll give them, if they're at a very, very low level of beginner, I'll give them, you know, walk 20 minutes a day at this pace or whatever it is, and that will get them into a calorie deficit. But it's a case-by-case dependent. optimally, again, picking it out of the sky, you know, 4 days a week is a great time to train. You know, it's not going to lead you into overtraining. It's not going to put you into undertraining. And then an optional fifth day, if you're getting your food right and getting your recovery right and sleeping and eating and supplementing well, you're going to be able to train 5 days. You know, your body's going to be able to do that because it's going to be repairing properly. So that's my advice on that. Okay, Brian Keane Fitness Question Podcast. What's the optimum breakdown of carbs, fat, and protein pre and post workout? So as I said, there's no optimal level in terms of pre and post workout. It's going to be case by case dependent. It's going to be context dependent. In an ideal world, if you're just following a normal basic program, I would cut your carbohydrates and have, you know, a moderate fat meal and protein before you train, and then a high carbohydrate and high protein meal after you train. But it's really context dependent. For example, if you're following the right training program where you're focusing on tension, focusing on the right cardio, putting everything in the right order, there's no optimal breakdown as such. It's going to be finding what works best for you. For example, in my online program, I've got options of a pre-workout meal with carbs and a pre-workout meal with fats, and it varies person to person on what works better. I work better with fats and protein before I train, but you know, my head trainer, who's in the head of training at Brian Keane Fitness, Paul, needs carbs in those pre-workout meals. He just cannot train properly without them, the same way as I feel bloated and sluggish if I have carbs in that pre-workout meal. So it's really case by case dependent. Trial moderate carb and high protein pre-workout, and try moderate fat and high protein pre-workout and see what you feel better with. And then I generally keep carbohydrates in that post-workout meal because you're more insulin sensitive. But again, it's case by case dependent. Some people won't feel that good. Some people would prefer to keep their carbs before they go to bed, and that works as well. You know, it's very case by case dependent, specific to each person's goal, and dependent on how your somatotype and genotype and everything is set up, and how you assimilate carbs and how you assimilate fats. So that's everything on the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast today. So guys, I hope you really enjoyed the first episode. I've had a ball doing it because I love these, you know, I love the Snapchat Q&As where I message people back and forth and being able to talk about a topic. So thanks so much for everybody that's listened. Any questions you have, guys, you can reach me on brian@briankeenefitness.com, or go over to my website, Brian Keane Fitness, or go on to my Facebook and Instagram, which is Brian Keane Fitness, or my Snapchat. I open up my Snapchat for an hour every day, BrianK019. I open it up for an hour every day for people to ask me questions back and forth. So these questions that people asked, these were specific to the podcast, but I do that every Monday to Friday. I'll open it for at least an hour every day where you can answer me questions back and forth. So make sure to go check out my podcast or my Snapchat, BrianK019. Please like and subscribe. And guys, because I've started the podcast, any reviews would be absolutely amazing. So if you can just go to iTunes and just give this a review, you know, and tell me what you liked, tell me what you didn't like, tell me where I can improve, and just give it a review, guys. That would be absolutely amazing, because it just means that I can keep these podcasts coming. So thanks for listening. I'll come at you guys again next week with another podcast.